So this text has some, I'm going to grab a stand, sorry. So this text has a lot of little nuggets in it, but one sort of stuck out to me a bit. How many of you struggle to watch somebody do something and you've done it before, you know exactly how it's supposed to be done, but you're watching this other person do it and it drives you nuts because they're not doing it the way you would do it, right? It's kind of like watching somebody cook, right? You know exactly how to make that particular dish, but it's like, no, you gotta chop up the tomatoes have to go in first. You can't put the celery in first. You gotta put the tomato, or whatever it is, right? The same thing is true when you're at work, right? When you maybe I know many of you are retired now, but when you're at work, you watch somebody else do what you know to do, and trying to watch somebody. Oh my gosh! And as a preacher, watching somebody else preach and watching somebody else lead worship. Oh my God. It is probably more stressful for me than it is when I'm leading worship because I'm watching them going, no, 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 that's not the, no, no, you know, and you're mine, right? Now, I many of you know that I lived with my best friend for a few months before I came here. I moved here. I was living in Doraville, Georgia. And so obviously my best friend is a little OCD. And so there was, you know, everything had to be in a certain place or she would freak out. And so this, but here's the thing, whenever she cleaned up the kitchen, and you know, I would do my part. You know, I go, if she cooked, I cleaned. And so I went in there, you know, and I clean up the kitchen, load the dishwasher, good to go. She come in right behind me and do it all over again, reload the dishwasher. Now my mom goes even a step further. My mother believes that a dishwasher is for sanitizing, not washing. So she washes everything, puts it in the dishwasher. I'm like, oh my God, Mom, that defeats the purpose of a dishwasher. So there are some things that may drive you a little bit crazy. How many of you know the song, Jesus Take the Wheel, right? You know where that story comes from? Or the song comes from? Carrie Underwood, of course, sung it. But there's a story behind it. There's a woman who is driving on Christmas Eve in a winter storm. She has a baby in the back seat. She's driving to be with her family. All of a sudden, she hits black ice. Her car starts spinning. She realizes she cannot get control. So what does she do? She puts up her hands and says, Jesus, take the wheel. The car comes to a safe stop on the shoulder of the road. That's the background of where the song Jesus Take the Wheel comes from. And here's the thing. Oftentimes, we are afraid to do this. We can't surrender to God because we think we can do it better. No, 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 God, I got this. I can figure out this problem on my own. I've been through this before. I know what I'm doing. I don't need your help in this. We may not say that out loud, but how many times in our lives do we just sort of take charge on things and then forget who is ultimately in control? Because newsflash, we are not in control. There is an illusion that you think you are. You might think you are, but the ultimate person who is in control of our lives is God. And the person who helps us and drives us to make certain decisions is God. You wouldn't even have those decisions to make were it not for God placing you in that particular situation or place. But we are afraid to do this. Jesus, take the wheel. I had one of those moments in the last service. I was telling Slade. I'm playing with the praise band now in the contemporary service, and I pulled up the song to play on my guitar, and I had it in the wrong key. And so I'm going, that's not right, as the band starts singing. And I surrendered. I said, God, I'm just going to flip through these songs until you tell me which key it is in, and then I'll start playing. And I got it by the end verse. We finally got there. But the thing is, we have a deep fear of that we have to be in control of things all the time. But here's the thing. If we don't relinquish control of certain situations, then you will never receive the abundance and grace that God has for you in a particular situation. Let me give you an example. Many of you know that I'm not a career one pastor. I've had several other careers. One of them was, I was an elementary music teacher. That's my first degree, was in music. And so when my home congregational pastor came to me and he said, "Rosie, would you mind starting to do children's sermons?" I said, "Yeah, I would love to do that. I'd love to help in service and help doing that." So then I started doing children's sermons. And then people started coming up to me and saying, "You know, I get more out of your children's sermons than I do when Pastor Pete preaches." And I said, "You know, maybe you shouldn't tell him that, but I appreciate the compliment." And then my pastor comes up to me and says, "Rosie, would you like to preach on a Wednesday during Advent?" And I said, "Sure, I think I could do that." So I prepared and prepared and prepared and wrote this. I still remember the sermon. I remember the story that I told, everything about that sermon, because it was the first time that I stood in a pulpit and I was preaching and I was scared to death and I wasn't sure whether any message was going to come through or not. But something shifted in me that day. And I don't know what it was. Well, yeah, I do. I do now. At the time, I didn't know what it was. And so many people kept saying, you need to consider going into ministry. I'm like, no, I'm not going back to school. No. So me, like Jonah, I ran for 2 years. I was like, nope, not doing it. I kept doing children's sermons. God kept molding me. Then I started leading Bible studies for the women's conferences for the Synod and everything. God was molding me. I wasn't ready. And I kept fighting it. But here's the thing. Had I not been open to the work of the Holy Spirit, because ultimately I did make the decision to go to seminary, then I wouldn't be standing here right now. 10 years later, here I am in Tennessee, witnessing the beautiful spring that I never would have seen otherwise had I not said, "Jesus, take the wheel." Even the company that I was working for, the last straw that sort of got me over the border, when I finally said yes, was I worked for a very Christian-based lighting company, and they had invited me because company-wide, everyone got an email devotion, and someone in the company would write it. Well, when people heard that I was doing children's sermons at church, they invited me to write a devotion. Pretty soon, I was writing them every week. And then, so the owner of the company started to read them, and I got called into my district manager's office, and he said, "Bob wanted me to give you this." I opened an envelope, and it was a check for $10,000 for me to attend seminary. At that point, I knew I could not run anymore. You don't turn down a $10,000 gift. And so he knew that I was discerning. Word had gotten around. And so I knew at that moment that if I didn't allow those floodgates to be open, that I would, number one, be missing out on $10,000, but number two, that I couldn't run from God anymore, that I needed to let go and trust God to lead me. And I had no clue what I was going to do for income. I had no clue where I was going to live, what I was going to do. All I know was that I had this gift and I couldn't turn it down. And so I said, Jesus, take the wheel, because I don't know what comes next. I applied to seminary. 10 years later, here I am. Now, my story is sure may not reach you personally, but I am almost 100% positive that there have been situations in your life that right now you are blocking. And what you don't realize is if you don't allow room for the Holy Spirit in your life and you don't say, God, take the wheel, you will never receive the abundant blessing that might be waiting on the other side. Because not only once I said that yes, there was a flood of all of the scholarships and everything that came my way that I had no clue where they came from, but they came anyway. And that is the floodgates that God has for you when you say, okay, I surrender. I give it to you, God. I give you my burden. I give you my pain. I give you whatever it is keeping me from saying yes to the Lord, because yes to God means opening a flood of grace and love and truth that is waiting for you. And if we are not an open vessel for that, if we don't open that jar as Margaret was talking about and allow God to take all that stuff out so that he can fill it with love and grace and mercy, then we are not living the disciple life that God has and wants for us. God wants to give us abundance. God wants us to live in love. God wants us to be an open vessel so that we can go out and be God's hands and feet in this world to a desperate world that needs to receive it. And so whatever is holding you back right now, I invite you to release it. Give it to God. Tie it to that cross and say, Lord, no more. I'm going to say yes to you today because you have already said yes to me. Because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Give it to the Lord today. Trust that the abundance, the love, the grace that lies in the hope of the cross is there. Be an open vessel today. Open your jar and let God in, and let Jesus take the wheel. Amen.